People have powerful feelings about the traffic in Los Angeles. It says something that local officials warned motorists about a temporary road work closure on the 405 last year by calling it Carmageddon. Angelenos took the hint, and this weekend they're expected to steer clear of the latest 405 closure, named, of course, Carmageddon 2. That's how it is in L.A., a snarl of overstuffed freeways and commuters who keep their cool, except when they don't. KPCC's Stephen Cuevas has this profile of a punk rocker whose music expresses the insanity of L.A. traffic while extolling the virtues of public transit.
Couple of things you need to know about Eddie Solis. He lives in L.A., loves the band Kiss, and does not own a car.
Being someone who's from L.A., born and raised, and, you know, having a few cars in my past, I saw the city much differently through a different perspective through the eyes of a bus rider.
Want to just go all the way to the back?
Sure. Line 18, Wilshire, Western Station.
Just steps from the front door of his home, across the street from a tortilla factory in L.A.'s Boyle Heights neighborhood, Solis catches a bus that connects him with the city's subway and the commuter train he catches to his day job at an indie record label in Hollywood.
It just opened me up to, like, little neighborhoods, galleries, clubs, bars, just everything. Just seeing what's out there, little pockets of the city.
Solis's journeys aboard L.A. buses and subway cars informs a lot of the material on The New Los Angeles Part 1, Through the Eyes of a Bus Rider, the latest release by the singer-guitarist band It's Casual. In Solis's vision of a new Los Angeles, people abandon their cars, climb aboard public transit, and rediscover their communities. One song extols the virtues of the L.A. County Metropolitan Transit Agency's Easy Pass and the urban underbelly it introduces to the rider.
And that's a nod and homage to, you know, the people who know what you can even go cheaper and really beat the system and really steer away from spending money on gas and oil profits and all that. Is all it takes for me to witness racial tension, for me to witness illegal aliens. It's not to paint a negative picture, it's just my perspective of what is seen.
Off the bus and back on the street, we make our way past a jazz saxophonist playing for pocket change and down a long escalator to catch a train.
So, where are we now?
We're at the Red Line station, the Pershing Square station in downtown L.A.
And what's our destination?
We're going to go downstairs another tier, and in about 5 minutes, we're going to get on the Red Line going northbound.
Okay, yeah. Let's go.
The Metro Red Line snakes from North Hollywood to downtown Los Angeles. It's the train that inspired It's Casual's signature tune and spawned a viral internet video. It was partly filmed late at night on a moving train as it hurtles from station to station. Solis thrashes away on his guitar and barks the lyrics, which celebrate the Red Line and call out the congested freeways that coil around Los Angeles.
Este es un tren de Metro Red Line a North Hollywood.
The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the 210, the freeways are not so nice.
The thread that comes out of the record that ties everyone together is just like, be alive, don't be a victim of having a car.
An MTA spokesman said he couldn't comment on Eddie Solis's furious pro-Metro message, but the Red Line video was a hit at the offices of Move LA.
Eddie's done a good job. Thank you, Eddie.
It's the public transportation advocacy group headed by former Santa Monica Mayor Denny Zane. He liked the juxtaposition of Solis blissfully riding L.A. public transit in one scene with scenes of the band raging against those notorious freeway jams.
Eddie is all frantic when he talks about highways. And so mellow when he's like grooving on a skateboard and on the bus and on the Red Line, there's a metaphor for the transformation, you know, from the, oh my God, I just got to get out of the traffic to, hey, this is cool. I can mellow out.
Or you can blast the tune like Too Many People as you claw your way across Los Angeles by car, bus, or skateboard.
Cross that children. There's too many people. I want them to go away. Even though it means they're so free.
Too Many People could also be a motto for It's Casual. Over the years, the band whittled itself down to a power duo of Solis and a rotating cast of drummers. So you may think the burly, bearded punk rocker just can't get along with freeways, with people, or his native LA. Not true.
I love it. I love everything about it. I've traveled throughout the U.S. many times, and I could never look forward enough to coming back. The weather, the different cultures, the landscape. I was just like, you know what? Now I know why everyone moves to L.A.
Solis will bring the love and the volume during a Red Line mini tour next month. It's Casual will play a different venue within walking distance of several Red Line metro stops from Union Station to West Hollywood. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas.
I want my driver's license burn.
That's the California Report, a production of KQED Public Radio in San Francisco. Our director this week is Nina Thorson. Seal Muller is our technical producer. We had additional engineering from Danny Bringer and Howard Gelman. Thanks to Hank Hadley at KCBX. Our online team includes Lisa Pickoff-White, David Marks, and Don Clyde. Our interns are Catherine Borgeson and Rachel Johnson. Tyke Hendricks is our elections editor with production help from Tina Lauerberg. We had editing support from Paul Rogers. Victoria Malione is our associate senior producer. Ingrid Becker is our senior producer. The news director is Bruce Kuhn. I'm Rachel Miro. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. And the California Endowment. Health happens in schools at calendow.org. And Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information at chevron.com.
The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the 210, the freeways are not so nice. The 101, the 405, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. I-5, the I-10. The I-5, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The 101, the 405, the freeways are not so nice. The 605, the 101, the 101, the 101, the I-10, the 210, the 605, the 101, the 405, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice.
Welcome to the 96th episode of Los Angeles Nista. I am your creator, producer, and host, Edward Solis. And today we are going to go off our regular format of car-free living in Los Angeles and geography of this huge space we live in and take the time to commend someone and admire someone for what they just experienced and helped with. In front of me is an in-studio guest by the name of Tiffany House, and she's a registered nurse who just returned from the Philippines. And you just went there with heart to heart, correct?
Yes.
Now,
what I want to do is articulate what went on in your mind when you actually made the commitment to go. When did you say, I'm going to do this? And what was the final straw that made you do it?
So I kind of have this connection to the Philippines because I traveled there last year on vacation. I took a month off. And so when I heard that the disaster happened, my first reaction was to send money. So I have some friends from a group called Tao Philippines. They run a tour company, but when the disaster happened, they started a grassroots relief service to the more remote islands out there. So I sent them all the money I had left in my checking account and, you know, kind of felt like I did my job. But then I was sitting at home that night and thought, well, there's no reason why I can't just go over there. So I started getting on the internet and researching different organizations that were going over, and I sent emails to about 10 different ones, and nobody really needed any nurses because they didn't have the, you know, the supplies for me to even distribute. So I finally found Heart to Heart International, and they said, absolutely, when can you leave? And I left 2 days later. I just really felt like I needed to be there to help the people that gave me such an amazing, you know, experience last year.
Now, I wanted to ask you, I mean, being a registered nurse and having framework that you're dealing with.
Yeah.
How different is it when you're obviously in a disaster situation? That's one thing. But I mean, when you get on the soil and you have your tools and your team, it's more intuitive than ever, right? I mean, you don't have this framework to
right.
build off of. It's like, I need to intuitively do what I can with what I can.
Yeah, you definitely have to be a little bit more resourceful. And it's practicing nursing the way that you want to practice nursing when you go to nursing school. It's the way you think it's going to be. You're just helping people. You're not dealing with the politics. You're not dealing with the paperwork. You're just helping people, and they're saying thank you, and that's it. It's, you know, it's beautiful.
Would you say that what you experienced in those 2 weeks, from the reactions of the people, was life changing?
Yes. It was incredible. Walking down the street, people would just stop me and thank me. They didn't even know what I was doing. They didn't necessarily know that I was a nurse, but I'm this white girl walking down the street,
right.
And, you know, in this devastated Filipino area, and they would just stop me and shake my hand. And I had people stop and want to take pictures with me, and they would just say, thank you for helping our country. Thank you for helping our people. And then the ones that couldn't speak English, they would just look at you, and you have an understanding.
But they would give you a look of sincere.
Yes.
Sincerity.
Yeah, it's
And your
it's
intuition
incredible.
And meter would pick that up, like, wow. I mean, that's pretty priceless. The situation, let's talk about the situation you walked into. I mean, because I don't care who you are, you just don't walk into this situation in your lifetime. What you experienced is something that people won't see. I mean, it was a typhoon storm that broke the typhoon scale.
Yeah. It's horrible. I mean, that the entire island of Leyte, which it has the city of Tacloban on it, that is the one that CNN mostly reports about, it looks like the entire island just got bombed. I mean, the trees are gone. You see all these coconut trees everywhere, but they're just uprooted or shaved off. I mean, everything is just destroyed. You drive for hours and there's nothing, you know, still standing. So going in, we had no idea what to expect. I took all of the camping gear with me and just prepared for the worst, I guess. We were lucky in that we found a church that was standing that housed us. So, you know, I was sleeping on the floor of a church with a lot of other homeless people from the neighborhood and their children that woke me up every morning. They're beautiful. And
I'll never forget that picture in your head, right?
I'll never forget that. You know, as soon as my head would go up, those kids are going, Stephanie, because they call me Stephanie.
Not Tiffany, Stephanie.
No, yeah, not Tiffany. Yeah. Stephanie, you're awake? So my alarm clock every morning at 5 a.m.
Wow.
But it was really overwhelming, and then made it really strange to come back to Los Angeles and, you know, join normal life.
Normal
again,
life.
What I call normal life.
You know, before we go into that, because I think it's very interesting, you know, the views and insights you come back with on what really matters. The locals, the way they had to clean up the debris and all the mess, it was really admirable what you explained to me before, you know, when we spoke before this interview. I mean, basically, it's the person's determination and will and a bucket.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Can you tell us how the like how they do it?
So we would just see people with, they would wake up at the break of dawn and get either a bucket or a shovel and fill it up with debris from one area and carry it over to another area, put it in a pile. You know, they were looking for bodies. They were looking for any kind of material that they could use to put their homes back together. So what was actually junk, they would just take to a different location, and they were burning all day. So you walk back to the pile of debris, you go through the pile, you put in the bucket what is junk, you take it over, you burn it, just back and forth and back and forth all day. It's just insane, you know, from the time the sun comes up until after dark, these people are just walking back and forth.
And they're so determined, and they're basically just living on rice.
They are, yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Maybe tea, you know, if they can make it.
Yeah, I mean, the markets in Tacloban had opened back up, so they're able to get, you know, fish now and pork, but they're price gouging them really bad right now. It's so difficult to get things in that there's, you know, it's supply and demand.
Wow.
And a lot of those people don't have the money for that, and they're just eating noodles or rice.
Right. Now, as far as the most common condition of what you're treating, you were saying upper respiratory.
Yeah.
And that's because all the burning.
Yeah.
Now talk about that.
So there are fires everywhere.
Wow. Daily. I mean, all over the place.
Yeah, all over the place, every day from, like I said, the time you wake up until after dark, they're just burning all the time. So people are having major respiratory issues. And then people are having stomach problems. I mean, it's just filthy right now. You know, the debris everywhere.
And the carbon.
Yeah, and the living situations are awful. People are sleeping on the ground, maybe with a tarp over them. It's awful. And then, of course, there's still people with wounds from the storm itself, and they're not clean, so they're getting infected.
Oh, my God.
So we were just basically passing out a lot of antibiotics, a lot of vitamins. People with, you know, high blood pressure, diabetes, they can't get their meds right now because there are no pharmacies, there are no doctor's offices open. So we were trying to get some of those things out, too.
Interesting. In addition, I mean, on top of the conditions itself, talk about the challenge to get your supplies in logistically.
There aren't enough trucks or boats. The roads are open. You can drive around the whole island. So that really wasn't a problem. We kept a chainsaw in the van just in case, you know, right. We needed it. But there, you know, just to get supplies on the neighboring island from the airport to a warehouse, they had to transport just a few pallets at a time in a small truck because they couldn't even get a big rig truck to carry it all. FedEx flew it in, no problem, but then it's, what do we do with it now, you know? So once they got it over to the neighboring island, then it was, okay, now we need a ferry to take it over. And for days, by the time I left, they hadn't gotten the supplies over.
Wow, that's a lot to deal with. I mean, now, was there ever, in the 2 weeks you were there, was everything that arrived used and used up and you got more, or was it just a big lot of supplies?
We were going through things really quickly. So
was it replenished right away? Or was
I guess. I mean, there was always the promise that there's more coming.
Yeah.
So we did get some more, and then I know that they got another shipment after I left.
What amazes me is how the news, CNN, stopped covering this already.
Yeah, it's really upsetting. I mean, I realize that there's other things going on in the world, but this was a truly horrific tragedy. I mean, CNN's been reporting, or had been reporting at least, that there were, I think, 4,000 or 5,000 deaths. But if you talk to people that are actually there, they're estimating it more in the tens of thousands, maybe 30,000 people dead. They base the official body count off of body bags used, and it's not accurate at all.
Right. And now that you're back in Los Angeles, in the swing of things, What's different for you?
Everything.
So it was life-changing at the most minimum.
Yeah.
It's very life-changing.
Yeah, absolutely life-changing. I mean, I've had difficulty, I don't know, getting pretty. You know, I get dressed up for a party tonight, and it feels silly to get pretty for a party. You know, it's my life, and it's different than over there. I have to get back into my life, but it definitely puts a new perspective on things. People are constantly thanking me. I'm around so many Filipinos working at a local hospital.
Well, tonight you were invited.
Yeah.
Someone thanked you.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
So one of the ladies that I work with who is Filipina, she insisted that I go to this Hollywood or holiday party.
Yeah.
Which was expensive to, you know, buy tickets to, and I wasn't going to go. But she insisted that I had to go and bought me a ticket.
Very cool.
So now I'm fancy and I get to go to a nice party.
So people are acknowledging, I mean, that you stepped out. I think that, you know, for me, you know, I wanted to do what I can. I mean, and have you on and just have you explain what you saw. And because what you did, your actions speak louder than words, you know. And I wanted to, you know, give you a platform to talk about it, because it's important that people know just how catastrophic things are and how people are living and how much work goes in just to maintaining people from getting worse. And you were a part of that team. Are you pretty, at this point in your life, are you ready to do it again?
Yes.
If duty calls?
Absolutely. I mean, right now I have plans to go to Guatemala on a planned surgical mission in May, so I'll be going to do that. But if another disaster happened and I felt like it was, you know, it's a time that I can just skip out of my life and, you know, go over and help, I absolutely would. I mean, I've even thought about going back to the Philippines in a couple of years just to see, you know, the progress. Because there's going to be tons of progress. I think it's going to take years for them to recover from this, but they're working so hard. It's incredible. The spirit of the people there is amazing.
Plus, you visited the year before.
Yes.
So you have this like immediate, you were immersed in the culture and the country.
Yes.
So when you went back and saw the way it was, I mean, it was like a nightmare, right?
Yeah, it's horrible. I think the best way to put it was very surreal driving around every day. I felt like I was in a movie.
You couldn't believe it.
Yeah. I mean, when you're walking down the street and you see children swinging from electric lines like Tarzan, like it's a toy, it's like something out of a movie. It doesn't even seem real somehow. There's just, you know, the pictures that you see kind of describe it a little bit. But if you look at the pictures that CNN has put up, you just imagine that it's worse, 10 times worse.
Wow. How different will Guatemala be?
Guatemala will be more organized because it is planned.
It's not a disaster.
It's not a disaster
mission.
Situation. Yeah.
Right.
And the people know that we're coming. We'll have it set up more as like people can come into the clinic and we'll be doing surgeries. Whereas we didn't have the equipment to do surgeries with the team that I was with. We were more running urgent care.
Right. That kind of format.
Yeah.
Right. Now, can you articulate to any registered nurses out there that may want to follow suit and help to the best of their ability when that time comes? Like, how do you go about it?
So I really just Googled disaster relief agencies in the Philippines. And I found Heart to Heart International, and they were fantastic to work with. I mean, there are bigger organizations like the Red Cross that you can go over with, but you have to do a training program with them before you can go on any of their disaster relief missions. There are so many organizations. So if you can find one that has the supplies, you know, to send you over, you have to pay your way, obviously find a way to get there to meet up with them. But it's absolutely possible. There have been so many volunteers that a lot of the organizations are overwhelmed with nurses, but there are still organizations that need people, and they're going to need people for a long time. This isn't something that's going to go away in a month. I wanted to go immediately because it kind of hurt, you know, it hurt my heart to hear what happened. But they're going to need people. And it's not for everyone. Not everyone wants to go and sleep on a floor of a church and get rained on and, you know, sweat it out in 95 degree weather, but money. Anyone can donate money.
Right.
You can donate money to huge relief organizations like the Red Cross. Donate money to Heart to Heart International on their website. Most everyone has a link that's easy to donate to. And then again, grassroots organizations like Tao Philippines, T-A-O, they are amazing. And, you know, you can go over and travel with them and see how the people are living and how they're recovering, actually. They're still running tour groups.
Now, how much did it cost to get down there and how fast did you raise it?
So it cost me a total of about $3,000 with my travel expenses. I bought a lot of vitamins to take over and
for yourself,
some camping gear.
To keep your immune system.
No, for people for to people. Pass out. Yeah, I bought about $500 or $600 worth of vitamins and other medications to take over with me out of my own pocket. But on Facebook, I sent out a Facebook event as soon as I got the call that they were going to send me. And just requested from my friends to send me money to help me help the people of the Philippines. And my friends, in about 24 to 48 hours, raised $2,300 to my PayPal account.
Wow.
I mean, people were just sending me money left and right. It was incredible. They really, really did send me there.
Wow. And, I mean, as far as all the spontaneity involved and making a big leap into a country like that and raising this money and coming back with this experience. Right now, what would be the best way anyone could help from their home? Donation?
Money, yeah.
Plain and simple, right?
Yeah, simple. Money. I mean, there is a ton of money pouring in, but it's going to take more. It's going to take a lot of money. It's going to take a lot of time. But the progress will be amazing.
Absolutely. Well, obviously, you've came back with a priceless life experience, and, you know, I want to thank you for being my guest on the 96th episode of Los Angeles Nista.
Thank you.
And thank you very much. Happy holidays.
You too.